Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we celebrate the first Sunday of Lent and the beginning of the Lenten journey to the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do our checklist before we begin our readings. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. Are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 7 to 9, chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods, who know what is good and what is evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Old Testament, first book of the Bible itself, the Lord God tells us that he formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being. And here we see the power of God, that no person in the world can duplicate what God has done here in the book of Genesis, to blow the breath of life into the nostrils of a human being. And he makes man out of the clay. What man can do this, my friends? We see that only God has the power of life and later of death itself. And here the power of God shows all of us as human beings that we are really vulnerable. We are humble, and we are in the midst of this world that we live in, relying upon our faith in God itself, because God has the power over life and death. He brings us into the world, and he calls us to do certain things. And in this reading, we see that the serpent is identified as the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God has made. What is your most vulnerable area, or what is your greatest weakness, my friends? Because the devil, Satan himself, is the most cunning, and he will come to us in our greatest weakness, our most vulnerable area, to tear us down. The devil loves to turn things around, as he does in this reading, and turning and twisting the words. What God said to do and not to do, he turns it around to benefit himself and to tear down, to turn people away from God himself. And in the reading, we see that a conscious decision was made against what God said to do and not to do. And that consequence will create separation between both men and women and God, as we decide to do things consciously against what God instructs us to do or not to do. Have you ever done that? How did it work out for you? Take a look at your past. Look into the past and see how your decisions were made. Did they consider what God said to do or not to do? And did we go the other way? But this separation from God is created because of our conscious decision to not follow the instructions put forth by our Father in heaven. This is a powerful reading, my friends, and it really shows us way back in the beginning how human beings, both men and women, have the free will to choose to follow God or to not follow him and what he says to do or not to do. Where are you today in that position? Are you on board and following the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven? Or do we do what feels good and just walk away from God? Think about it. As we begin the Lenten journey, I ask you to consider the Word of God and what God says to do and not to do, to help us to put a smile on God's face, to please him, to cooperate, to listen, and to be truly united with God, to be one with him, to be aligned, so that we're not separated, as we see from the beginning, human beings can be separated from God himself. Let's go to our second reading from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 to 19, and here it is. From St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death. And thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. For up to the time of the law, sin was in the world. Through sin, though sin is not accounted when there is no law. But death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is the type of the one who was to come. But the gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many. And the gift is not like the result of the one who sinned. For after one sin, there was the judgment that brought condemnation. But the gift after many transgressions brought acquittal. For if by the transgression of the one, death came to reign through that one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of justification come to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ? In conclusion, just as through one transgression, condemnation came upon all, so through one righteous act, acquittal and life came to all. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading, my friends, from St. Paul to the Romans, we are told that through one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death came upon all men. One man, you and I, my friends, we are men today. Where do we stand on sin? Where do we lay our priorities? Is this important? Or is it something that we put aside just to feel good? Are we cognizant of the fact that God tells us to do certain things and to avoid other certain things? Are we practicing obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven? Or is this something that we like to hear on Sundays only and we walk the other way? Take a look at yourself objectively, my friends, because as we proceed into the Lenten season, I want you to consider raising the standards, helping each other to live a more accountable life, accountable to our Lord Jesus Christ and to our Father in heaven, to not sin as often as we do, but to be cognizant of the potential of the sin that we can commit, but to avoid it. To consciously say, I'm going to avoid this today. This is important. And the word goes on to say, in conclusion, just as through our transgression, condemnation came upon all, so through one righteous act, acquittal and life came to all. One righteous act is identified here in the Word of God, in the book of Romans, chapter 5. And we make the comparison of condemnation to acquittal. Where would you rather be, my friends, to be condemned or to be acquitted? Where would you want to be if you were in a court of law, being judged by the judge and jury? Where would you like to be? What side would you like to be on? On the condemnation side or the acquittal side? Think about it. And God gives us the freedom to make a choice each and every day. No one likes to hear this. People don't want to talk about it. We want to do what we want to do because we're free human beings. We live in a nation where we're blessed to have freedom of religion and freedoms that other countries only wish that they had, that exist within our Constitution based on the document that was written many, many years ago in our nation by our forefathers. But condemnation versus acquittal, what side do you want to be on? Are you with the Lord or are you against him? Because St. Paul is telling us that we have to make a choice and we have freedom to do it. It's up to you and I to choose the right way to go, the right path to take, and to not suffer the consequences. And in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells us to be careful, to do exactly as the Lord God tells you to do. Don't deviate from the left or to the right, but to do exactly as God tells us to do so we can live and prosper. The blessings of obedience are identified in the book of Deuteronomy, but here today we're talking about sin, disobedience, a very strong word that people don't like to hear. It's hard to listen to. But God calls us to a higher standard, to be obedient in the eyes of God. Not my eyes or your eyes, but in the eyes of God, are you and I obedient, my friends? Do we have the humility to be obedient and to avoid sin? Where are we on that pathway? On a scale from 1 to 10, where are we? Are we committing sin every day? Are we trying hard to avoid it? Are we living a sin-free life? Are we instructing our children to do the same? Or have we lowered our standards in the house itself, in our homes, allowing our children to do things in word and action that go against the grain, that are opposite to what God tells us to do and not to do? How are things going for you and your family, my friends? Because this Lenten season, God calls us to raise the standard and to do more, to give more, to be more as a Christian, to really live out the faith and not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk as well, to live it out. God calls us to be better human beings, to be the very best that we can be. And to do that, we have to avoid sin. Because when we sin, we are separated from God. We have that separation and like a dwell period of correction. Many years ago, I worked for 7 years at the House of Corrections doing the WINGS program. We were also at CFCF and PIC. And I just tell you that one day it appeared to me that the House of Corrections is a place where people are incarcerated and they're given time to make changes, to make corrections in their lives, to go from greedy to generous, to go from impatient to patient, to go from an alcoholic or drug addict to being clean and sober, to go from hurting individuals in so many ways to being a nice person, a good person, to bringing love to your children. God calls us for change, and the House of Corrections is a place of change where people correct mistakes, correct errors, and they're given adequate time to do that. Each and every person is in a different place. But this, my friends, is our opportunity to follow in the footsteps of St. Paul and to avoid sin whenever we can. Once again, the Word of God says, sin entered the world through one man. You and I have an opportunity to bring sin into the world or to avoid sin, to cleanse the world, to clean it up, to eliminate it, to throw out the garbage, to make things new, to make things fresh. God calls us once again to a higher standard, and he's calling you this morning to do your very best to avoid sin and to bring the love of God into the world and to make this kingdom of God here on earth the way God would like it to be. He calls you and I, my friends, to step up the plate and to do the very best that we can do to help other people in so many ways, using our talents, our time, our treasure, to build the kingdom of God here on earth. In God's eyes, are you and I doing that, my friends, or can we do just a little bit more? What do you think? I challenge you this Lenten season to do just a little bit more. And as we prepare once again for Lent, you know, we talk about prayer and fasting. And in the gospel reading, we're going to talk about that, how the Lord fasted for 40 days. But what are you going to do, my friends, this Lenten journey, this season? What are you going to give up for the Lord, for His benefit? What are you willing to do to give up or to take on for the Lord? I challenge you to think about that and to take action and to be a doer of the word, as it says in the book of James. Let's go to our gospel reading now from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. And here it is. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." The devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you with their hands. They will support you, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you, if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the gospel of Matthew today, my friends, we see that Jesus was led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And he was tempted multiple times. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. No human being could have survived, could have done that. The Lord's divine side carried his human side through it all. But the Lord was tempted multiple times, and his answers are very powerful. And this is where we need to embrace the answers that God gives us on how to fight off the devil, how to fight off that temptation when we really want it badly, desperately. We'll do anything to get it in some cases. And the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ three times. You and I will be tempted millions of times throughout our lifetime. And he comes to us once again in our most vulnerable area, our greatest weakness. What is your greatest weakness? Is it money, power, prestige? Is it drugs, alcohol, whatever it is it women, men? God calls us to overcome these temptations, but the devil himself will come to us in those areas we love the most. And the Lord says this, his first response to the devil is, one does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And he gives it to him straight. No matter what you want to give to me, it doesn't matter, because God doesn't live on bread alone. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And so are we excited about the word of God? Are we excited about the things God has given us within the Bible, the Old and New Testament, the four Gospels, the 13 books of the Word written by St. Paul? Are we excited by the miracles identified in the Gospels by Jesus Christ? The Lord was tempted 3 times in the desert. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He responds to the devil a second time. He says, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And the Lord responds, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Are you and I testing the Lord sometimes? The Lord doesn't want to be tested. The Word of God confirms it right here in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. It says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He says to the devil, get away from me, Satan. The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. And this is the rub, because people sometimes are worshiping other things, other people, than God himself, than our Lord Jesus Christ. They are worshiping cars and money and power. They are worshiping houses. And God calls us to a different lifestyle. He says that we should worship him alone and serve him alone. This is important. The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. And it's important to identify this gospel reading as a role model for us in how to deal with temptation coming from the evil one, Satan himself, as they say in Spanish, Diablo. Well, Satan is working overtime to get into your life and my life, to wreck marriages, to destroy people through suicide, through depression. God is calling us to stand up strong and to fight him off. He says, get away from me, Satan. And that is the tool that you and I want to have on the tip of our tongues when God is there, but Satan is drawing us in, trying to get us to turn away from God himself. We have the power to do it. We have free will. But we have the power to choose God instead of Satan. My friends, I challenge you this Lenten season to use that phrase whenever you have to, whenever you can, when he's sucking you in, drawing you into turning away from God, doing what feels good rather than what God says to do and not to do. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll see you next time here in Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.